All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Revelation chapter 9 this evening. Revelation chapter 9. And while you're turning, Pastor Ray would like to have a meeting with those of you who signed up to help with the live nativity that's coming up. And he would like to meet with you right over here. Right over here on the organ side, as soon as the service is over with, and quicker everybody gathers, the quicker we'll be done. All right, so if you could meet over there, and then one other request that I would like for our church to pray about is. A lot of the nurses and the hospital staff folks, but especially the nurses and those that are that actually dole out the care, they're going through it. They're under such strain and such pressure, and it's starting to wear on them, and. Pastor Rick goes to the hospitals every day, sometimes several hospitals in one day, and therefore he runs into a lot of these caregivers, and bless their hearts, they're carrying a load, and so he ran into one this week, and. She's a nurse, and the lady just she just broke down and started crying on the job, and so Pastor Rick told her that that we pray for them, and that just turned the waterworks on even more. So they're straining right now, and taking care of all the things that are going on. So would you please just remember to pray for them and ask God's blessings, all right? Okay, let's begin reading, please, in verse 1. And in verse 1 we read, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." Now notice, not keys, plural, but the key. All right, now, remember who has the keys now? The Lord, yeah. In chapter 1, he took the keys from the devil. And remember that when you have the keys, you have the control. And so this, this star falls from heaven, and then the Lord gave him a key to the bottom, or the key to the bottomless pit. Verse 2, "And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months." Wow, 5 months. And that's kind of important. I'll share that with you in a little bit. It says, "And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it. and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns of gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. So just beautiful things, right? Man. Verse 9, and they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. Actually, it's pronounced Abaddon. Abaddon. If you look at the, but we anglicize it, and I've always heard it pronounced Abaddon. But if you look at the accent marks, you can see it's Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue, the name, his name, Apollyon. All right, verse 12. One woe is past. Now, you remember from verse 13 of the previous chapter, after the fourth trumpet sounded, then an angel went flying around the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. All right, so this is the first of those three woes. All right, big time. Big. This is serious stuff. All right, let's pray real quick and then get going. Father, we ask now your richest blessings on us as we open your word and look at its truths. And Father, thank you so much for this passage. What a blessing it is to be able to open the word of God and to read and to get understanding of your word. And so I pray that you will bless us richly tonight. Help me as I speak, help our folks as they listen, and bless all those watching online. I pray that, Father, you will just bless all of us together. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, we have seen over the last 2 weeks, we have seen the what the Bible calls the seal judgments. There were seven of those. The seventh one introduced the trumpet judgments to us, and so everybody is on the earth is just reeling from the seven judgments of the seals, and when each one was broken, it just continued. They didn't happen for a couple of weeks and then go away. No, once that seal was open, then the judgment of that seal continued on throughout the rest of the 7 years of tribulation. And so it's a serious event that happened when the judgments were began to be unleashed upon the earth. It's wrath. It's God dealing with the world in his wrath. Now, you remember he came the first time in grace, but he's going to come the second time in wrath, in judgment. He came the first time as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But he will come the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so so what we're seeing here with the unfolding of these judgments is the wrath and judgment hand of God. All right, so we've seen then four of the trumpet judgments starting last week. We looked at the first four of the trumpets. And we saw the great devastation that rocked the earth and seemed to be, those judgments seemed to be directed against the physical world itself. Man was affected, but man was affected only indirectly at the first four. And all of these judgments, no doubt, are responsible or will be responsible for striking great fear into the human heart as many people die just from the terror, just from the wrath that they see. And I believe with all my heart, folks, that when these judgments, when the seals and the trumpets and the bowls begin to unfold, men will know that this is the hand of God. I believe that with all my heart. I don't think folks are going to be sitting around scratching their head going, wow, why is this happening? No, they're going to know that it is the wrath of God Almighty. If you go back to the end of chapter 6, in verse 16, it says, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So they know, the world knows, that it is the wrath of God being poured out upon them. Now, in this ninth chapter, we see, though, a little change in strategy. During the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, we're going to see the Bible telling us of a rapid and fervent increase in demonic activity. And this one that I read for you tonight out of chapter 9, this one is the beginning of that demonic activity that is going to take place on the earth. All right, now, I want to lay a little foundation here before I get to the actual text. Let me speak to you for just a moment about the circumstances which will set this scene up. All right, Satan and his host of fallen angels, we call them demons, devils. So Satan and his host of demons have, since the beginning of time, hated mankind. Now, why does the devil hate mankind? Well, because we were created in the image of God. That's why. And so the devil would destroy all of us if he could. Now, Satan, at one time, back in eternity past, Satan was one of the highest of all the angels. We are told in the book of Ezekiel, let's just go back there real quickly. Ezekiel, please, and go to chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. And I want you to notice just a couple of verses here. I won't take a whole lot of time on this, but I do want you to see it, and I want you to know where it is in your Bible so you can study it on your own. All right, so in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 28 and in verse 14, we read these words. Thou art the anointed cherub. Now, he's talking about the devil here, all right? If you look back at verse 13, thou hast been in, what's the next word? Eden, the garden of God. Now, who was in the Garden of Eden? Well, we know that Adam was there. Nod your heads, right? We know that Eve was there, right? And who else was there? The serpent, the devil. All right, so Ezekiel is speaking here about the devil. And he says in verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. So the devil was at one time before his fall, he was considered by the Lord as the anointed cherub. Then he was, according to Isaiah chapter 14, just flip back there, a couple books back, and chapter 14 for a moment. And if you will look, please, verse 12. All right, 14, verse 12. In verse 14, or chapter 14, verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above. Notice all these I wills. I will. And God said, no, you won't. And so he was booted out of heaven and fell to the earth. But notice here that in verse in Isaiah 14 in verse 12, that the Lord called him the son of the morning. We also read back in Ezekiel 28 and verse 12 that the devil was, let's see, what did it say there in the last half? Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Perfect in beauty. That's just an amazing thing that God tells us. He was full of wisdom. Folks, how do you think that old Slewfoot knows how to do his job? It's because he's full of wisdom. He's a whole lot wiser than any of us. And he knows exactly what he's doing. And then these are all Old Testament, but in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1 and verse 14, we read that the specific job of the created angels, their function was to serve as ministering spirits to the people who were the heirs of salvation. But folks, what I'm wanting you to see here is that Satan was not content with his position in heaven. When it appears that his position in heaven was one of great exaltation. Some say that he was the music director in heaven. All right? And that's why the devil is so slick when it comes to music. He knows music. He knows it frontwards and backwards, because he was, according to Jewish tradition, he was the music director in heaven. But these angels are a little bit above us in creation. Okay? And so their specific job function was to be ministering spirits to those who are the heirs of salvation. But Satan simply could not handle what God gave him to do. He was so full of pride because he thought he was above everything else. And so he said that he wanted to exalt himself above the Lord. In Revelation, let's go back to Revelation for a moment. In Revelation chapter 12, if you'll look there for just a moment, in chapter 12 of Revelation, and if you will look at verse 3, it says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And then in verse 4, it says, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. So the devil was so convincing and he was so slick that one third of heaven's angels fell with him when he fell and tried to exalt himself above God. Now you think about that. One third of heaven's angels. That is no doubt a huge number. All right. So he said, I will be like the Most High. And God let him know that he would not be like the Most High. And folks, that's when he was cast out of heaven. That's when he fell to the earth and immediately set his sights on mankind. He would entice man to rebel against God. That's what he did to Adam and Eve in the garden. And when man sinned, then that's when God cursed the man, you remember. He cursed the woman, you remember. He cursed the earth, you will remember. And then he cursed Satan. All right, so don't forget that. The Lord pronounced that curse in Genesis 3:15 and following against the devil, against Adam, against man, against Eve, against woman, and against the earth, and against the devil himself. So the woman's seed, God said, the woman's seed will crush you forever. The woman's seed will crush your head. And once again, Satan's resistance to God's plan for man had led to awful judgment being pronounced upon him by God Almighty. And so as we proceed through this book, we are getting closer and closer to that final time when God says, you're no more. You're done. And I cannot wait to see that day. Can you? All right. Now, what happened? Well, when Adam and Eve sinned, you remember, and we just went through the book of Genesis, but you'll remember that the devil then launched his attack upon the sons of Cain. All right, you remember that Cain and Abel, and Cain killed his brother Abel, and then the devil launched his full-scale attack upon the sons of Cain. And a generation, we're told in the Bible, a generation arose from the line of Cain, which God said was full of wickedness, and every imagination of their hearts was only evil continually. So no doubt Satan was once again hoping to amass a mighty army, this time human army, possessed and controlled by his host of fallen angels. And if successful, he would seek to rob God of the purpose for which God created man. As man would love and serve the devil instead of God. All right, so he came after Cain and all his bunch. All right, now let's just go forward again. So what happened? Well, again, God foiled the devil's plan. You remember there's a little verse at the beginning of telling us about Noah where the Bible says, but Noah found in the eyes of the Lord. Exactly right. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The righteousness of Noah was spared, and the evil, corrupt seed of Cain was destroyed. Now, I don't have a verse, I don't have a chapter and a verse, or a book and a chapter and a verse, but I personally think that once that judgment was sent upon this world, and I'm talking about the flood, it was not a local flood, it was a worldwide flood. It was judgment upon everything, all men, the line of Cain, who had lured over the line, the good line of Seth, you'll remember. And so, here the whole world is evil in God's sight. I think just like it is today. I really do. I think God looks at this world today and says, oh boy, here they go again. Look at this. I think that's where we are in our world today. But I don't have chapter and verse for it, but I think that it was here that God took a host of these demons and locked them up in hell, in this bottomless pit. I can't prove it, but I think that the devil was intending on using all of these fallen angels that fell with him, and was intending on using them to rally a force to go against God. Remember, he tried it just after the flood was over with the Tower of Babel. All right? And so I think that was what the devil was intent on doing. All right? Are you in Revelation? All right, go back one book to the little book of Jude. All right, the little book of Jude. And if you will, turn to chapter 1, okay? Are you listening? Just making sure you're listening. I'm not boring you to death, am I? All right, this is heavy stuff. I know it is, but I need to lay this foundation. All right, look, Jude, the book of Jude. Now, look down, if you will, at verse 6. It says in verse 6, well, let's go back and get verse 4. Look at verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares. All right, so they're a bunch of creeps. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now watch this. Verse 6. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness into the judgment of the great day. All right, so right here, we're told that God, the Lord, took some of these angels that fell, and he bound them and put them in the bottomless pit. He's holding them in reserve. Why? Well, because he's going to need them in Revelation chapter 9. That's why. And so they're still there. They're still there right now tonight as we speak. Those angels that fell, those demons that fell with Satan, many of them are locked up in this bottomless pit. All right, now go back a couple more books to the book of 2 Peter. All right, 2 Peter chapter 2. Hope you'll mark this stuff so you can go back and read it. All right, so he says in verse 1, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Joel Osteen. No, you didn't get the first one, so I had to put the last name in there. All right. That other one, what was that other one's name? Jimmy Swaggart. What was that other one's name? Jim Baker. You know, he's still deceiving people. Unreal. Unreal. You would think that after you've been taken to the pea patch once, the guy that took you to the pea patch says to you, come on, let's go back. You'd think you'd say no. But what do I know? All right, read on. And through covetousness shall they, verse 3, with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, God hadn't forgotten his promise. God hadn't forgotten what he said he's going to do. All right, it's coming. Now look at verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, etc., etc., etc. But look at verse 4. All right, for if God spared not the angels that sinned. All right, that's Satan and the one third that fell. And he said, but cast them down to hell. Now hell is the word Tartaros. All right, Tartaros. In the Greek New Testament. Now that word is translated hell. Okay, it's just translated hell in your Bible, and it's not the word, however, that is commonly used for hell when speaking of hell itself. All right, so. So this was a special chamber, if you will, a special place that God sent these angels into. So with all these defeats that the devil and these angels have all had to deal with, all occasioned by his resistance to God's purpose for mankind, it is easy to see how Satan hates man now and is just indescribably bitter toward men. toward mankind. Well, in this ninth chapter, we're going to see the restraints upon these devils that were chained, these demons that were chained in darkness for millennia now. All right? 4,000 years, if my theory is correct, that they were thrown down there when the flood came. Well, if that's the case, then now, 4,000 years, they're going to come out of there pretty ticked, don't you think? They're going to be a little angry when they come out. All right, but they are going to get out. All right, now, let's look now at, oh, time's gone. Mercy. All right, well, I guess we better stop there then because I can't get nothing else started. All right, we'll pick it up right there, all right, with verse 1 of chapter 9 next Wednesday night. All right, we'll pick it up right there with verse 1 of chapter 9. You got that foundation now? All right, so these, I read it for you, and these locusts, in my opinion, these locusts are those demons that were held in that bottomless pit, that were locked and chained in that bottomless pit. And they are going to be freed. The devil is going to turn them loose. God, the Lord's going to hand the devil that key to that bottomless pit. And I think the devil is that star that is mentioned in 9:1. And when the devil falls and things are going to ramp up. Oh my, are they going to ramp up? And he's going to take that key, go down, unlock that bottomless pit. And then wrath like you've never seen before upon this earth. Folks, I tell you, I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? I'm glad I don't have to go through this. I sure am. I don't want to be chased by a locust that's as big as a horse, that has teeth like a lion, and can fly through the air faster than I can run on the ground. No, I don't want that. He's got a tail like a scorpion. I don't want that either. No way. So thank the Lord for salvation. Amen. And there are so many things in this chapter that we're going to learn about. And so I hope you'll be back next week. You see that word bottomless pit? Oh my, that's real interesting. That's an amazing little truth that I'll show you out of that. Okay, well, let's pray. Father, thank you now for your word. I pray you'll bless this to our hearts tonight. We understand from your word that the devil fell from heaven. He tried to exalt himself and take over heaven. But Father, thank you for standing up. Thank you for throwing him out. And I pray now that you will help us to realize he's the enemy. He is your enemy. And so that makes him our enemy. And so I pray that you'll help us to see that he desires to hurt us so that he can hurt you. And so, Father, give us understanding of these things. And I pray that when we read this next, or study this next Wednesday night, that, Father, you'll help us to get a clear understanding and see just how powerful this all is, as we realize the power in the unseen world. So, Father, bless now, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.